Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway, 1550 North High Street. Further details online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org. I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
And I'm John DeSando, if you can hear me over
yes,
the construction.
I can. You were at the Gateway Film Center where they're building a new restaurant,
oh,
the Torpedo Room,
oh,
a Liz Lessner effort.
Can't wait.
Yeah, so that's what you hear in the background of our conversation. It is that time of year, John, where everybody is heading into Oscar season. Everybody is making their 10 best lists. So we have a couple for you, and I just thought we could bounce off
Let's do that.
Each other and see who's right, who's wrong, and what we still need to see.
The magazine of record is Entertainment Weekly,
mm-hmm.
and their December 13th issue, which surprises me because they've got a couple more weeks to do the year, but they did.
Yeah,
they're 10.
They've already seen everything that's coming out this year, I would assume. Except The Wolf of Wall Street.
Right.
Nobody
exactly.
has seen that
yet. And they do not mention her either.
Oh, the Spike Jones movie.
Yes, which is a comer.
Yeah.
So you
have Entertainment Weekly. And I have the New York Film Critics Circle Awards for this year.
Well, it's interesting to see what EW presents as their number one, 12 Years a Slave, which is not going to be a big surprise to anybody.
No. And New York Film Critics have picked American Hustle as the best picture.
And right now, those two are going neck to neck.
Right. But the best director here on the Film Critics Circle Awards is 12 Years a Slave. Steve McQueen is best director. Now, that's always the sticking point, right? But when at the Academy, at the Academy Awards, everybody always wonders why. How can you split those two?
Let's get into this. You and I have had this argument for 5 years.
I know. I think you ignore it. You know, it's a different thing.
I know you are.
I always say the best picture is the best package, the big package.
Yeah, and you're right in that respect. It is artistically, this is a collaborative effort.
Yeah. What else you got over there?
Well, I think one that I don't even know if you've seen it.
Yeah.
But we have for third place in EW's 10.
Mm-hmm.
Before Midnight.
Oh wow.
Julie Delpy.
Before Midnight, yeah.
And that's appearing on lists. In fact, they do two tens here, and that's already on the list. In fact, the next critic in EW gives that the number one spot.
Really?
So let's not ignore it. It's terribly chatty. You know, Ethan Hawke, Julie Delpy. Mm-hmm. They're now a couple. They're now married with two children.
Right.
And so they are going through some of the struggles that people who have been married for a few years go through. It's done brilliantly, beautifully,
but
you have to be willing to listen to their dialogue and try to understand what they're saying. There are so many messages coming through that.
All right, that was some severe banging there.
Oops.
Right? Yeah.
It wasn't happening.
It was mostly talk. And before sunrise, it was mostly talk. I should clarify, I don't have a top 10 list from the New York Film Critics Circle.
Okay.
I have their awards, what they gave out. And Before Sunrise is nowhere on this list.
Well, it's Before Midnight.
Before Midnight. Okay,
right.
Three,
right.
Two. And I should tell you, Before Midnight doesn't appear anywhere on this list. Here, you know what is decidedly absent from this list is Gravity.
Yeah, and it's fifth on this list.
Okay.
I'm surprised on that one. It appears on the next list to be second. So you have Owen Gleiberman as one critic.
We should record in space because there's no sound up there.
And Chris Nashatoway.
Mm-hmm.
3, 2, 1. Chris Nashawati.
Okay.
Is the second critic with his second 10. And Gravity appears the second spot for
him.
Okay?
Yeah, that's not to say that it wasn't nominated for one of these awards. It just did not win in any of the major categories. You know what I love to see on this list is that Robert Redford won Best Actor for All Is Lost.
I did see that, and that is just a sentimental award because he is not the best actor at all.
He's not.
No, he's not. I'm happy that he's nominated. He deserves it. It is just Robert Redford amped up. Sorry. Alone.
But you know what?
Tough.
I got to tell you, Robert Redford is one of the most underrated actors.
And you were right, yes.
In all of Hollywood cinema.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he, you know, talk about a guy who's been cursed by his looks.
Yep.
Now, despite his looks, he's made some really stunning artistic achievements, particularly in the 70s.
And Cool Hand Luke.
That was Paul Newman, but thank you. But thank you for the effort there. Yeah, one that is, that,
you,
is that the old college
Newman.
Try? No, you know, much like Paul Newman,
right, right.
Redford had to struggle to turn in performances that were more than just his looks. And I you know, when I just recently rewatched The Great Waldo Pepper.
Oh,
and,
Lord.
He does really some amazing things, despite how gorgeous he is.
And what's the one with the two con men that he actually
got? The Sting.
The Sting.
Yeah.
He actually got a nomination for that, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think he did.
I'll trust you. Well, I don't know if I should trust you.
Don't trust you, me.
You thought the guy was in Cool Hand Luke.
Well, one that I think you and I both liked,
mm-hmm.
Fruitvale Station.
Emma wasn't necessarily crazy about that.
Appears in the number fourth place in
okay.
EW.
Well, it wins the New York Film Critics Best First Film Award.
Sure, okay.
Ryan Coogler directed that picture and was duly recognized for it, so maybe great things are to come from that guy.
Yeah. Well, and you don't find in there anywhere an award for Captain Phillips?
No awards for Captain Phillips, although I got to tell you, I think that's a tricky category for that particular movie because it's a biopic, because Tom Hanks is, as he always is, exceedingly competent in his performance.
Yes.
You know, he does not do a whole lot in that movie.
Except,
go ahead, what are you going to say?
In the end.
In the end, right?
Yes. It's an
Oscar
baiting.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Oscar baiting role.
How many movies do we see like that focus on a tragedy, right?
Yep.
And you really can't imagine what that character is going through. You look to the actor to give you clues as an audience member. But what Tom Hanks does there when all is said and done, and he's on the ship, and the ship's medical crew is attending to him, and he's going into shock. That is a stunning piece of screen
acting.
It
sure is. Yep. And that's what I call Oscar baiting.
Yeah, well,
he goes through the film in a very competent, as you said, very competent way, and in the end we get this burst of passionate acting.
But it's so contained.
I agree.
You know,
yeah.
He's so tautly wound in that
yeah.
scene.
Yeah.
And I think the director of that movie, Michael Winterbottom, I believe, directed it, wisely employs what I believe to be a non-actor. The nurse, I think, seems very real to me. And I think she's actually attending to him as though he were a real patient.
Paul Greengrass.
Okay. 3, 2. And I think the director, Paul Greengrass, makes a wise decision there in that final scene not to cast an actress, but it seems to me, I'm guessing now,
okay.
It seems to me that the nurse or the doctor
yes.
that's tending to him is a non-actor, is a real medical professional.
Interesting point.
Because it has that, you know, the way she's addressing him. And, man,
it draws a better performance out of him.
Well, yeah,
because yeah,
she's asking him those questions that one would ask of somebody who's just gone through something so terrifying.
You know, let's look just a little bit again at All is Lost.
Mm-hmm.
3, 2, 1. Let's look once again at All is Lost. You talked about him as a Best Actor nominee. And this is a film that appears on the EW list.
Yeah.
And I think it's worthy of that, if mm-hmm. only because it tests your ability to sit through a film that has very little dialogue.
Well, in the same way that Before Midnight tests your ability to sit through a movie
yes,
that is only dialogue.
Exactly.
So what's the problem? I mean, listen, I guess the point here is that words can be incredibly hypnotic and interesting, right? They can be, words can be compelling.
Yes.
All is Lost, which is the Robert Redford shipwrecked movie, is the opposite tack, which... the opposite cinematic approach, which is that a face can be full of words.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and you know that you know that brings up a very important point to me.
Yeah.
I'm a word person. Mm-hmm. So naturally, I liked Before Midnight very much. But yet, at the same time, motion pictures are visual.
Mm-hmm.
And when you accent the visual, as you do in All in Lost, you're getting that side of it to a full degree.
Yeah.
So if you like movies, you can like either film.
Right. Well, now, faces are landscapes.
Whether you like Inside Llewyn Davis or not, which appears in Gleiberman's 10th spot,
right,
is another question. Coen Brothers, got to see it.
Mm-hmm. That wins the New York Film Critics Best Cinematographer Award,
okay,
and not much else, really.
Yeah, no.
The big winner here, I believe that the New York Film Critics Circle is a great, I think these guys have a, and gals have a lot of great taste, and so, the big winner here is American Hustle.
Yeah.
Best picture, best screenplay, best supporting actress.
Do they have best actress in there? Because
yes, the best actress here. You ready for this one?
Cate Blanchett.
It is.
All right.
For Blue Jasmine.
Of course.
That's wrong. So maybe these guys don't.
What do you want? Judi Dench? Who are you promoting?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but I was not impressed by that performance.
Well, not because it's not. It's Woody Allen. You're very persnickety about Woody Allen.
She was good. She was good. I just don't know that she was the best actress of the year. I think it was Robert Redford, actually.
There are two others. There are two others on Owen Gleiberman's list that I think are fascinating that are not going to be on everybody else's list.
What are they?
World War Z.
Okay.
All right. Isn't that a surprise?
Yes. It comes as quite a shock.
That's Brad Pitt's movie.
Right. I know what it is. Brad Pitt's zombie movie. Right. Yeah.
The other one, not so much a surprise to you and me because we like this actor very much, Prisoners.
Oh, yeah. That was one of their best pictures of the year?
Yep. Number 9, Owen Gleiberman.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you like that movie?
I did. And if you look at it, it's a very fine performance from Hugh Jackman.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of rage in his character.
Yeah.
And there's a great deal of vengeance about it. We've had a show on vengeance.
Right.
So I think it has a mix of things. Most people are going to discount it because it has that thriller aspect
to it. Well, yes. And, I wouldn't necessarily discount it because of that. I would discount it because it seems to revel in some more pulpy, elements. Like I felt it veered very dramatically into broad. Like in 3, 2, I thought it veered very enthusiastically into the realm of melodrama, and so I wasn't. I was always compelled by the film. It was always interesting to watch, but at some point it just left emotional reality behind.
And one of the things for me is that, it borrows a little bit too much on at least the spirit of Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
We have the incarceration. You have the slightly going mad characters, but I think
they imitate the surprise cross-cutting at the end. Do you remember in Silence of the Lambs when it looks like the SWAT team is going to burst in and save Jodie Foster from Buffalo Bill, but really the cross-cutting tricks you into thinking that, and the SWAT team busts into an empty house, and
yes,
Jodie Foster is still in trouble?
That's great.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't they do that in this movie?
Of course.
It seemed like they did.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Another point to kind of close things up maybe for us, American Hustle, which seems to be maybe the top seeded at this point, at least from the list that we have talked about, also has an homage that I think is almost insulting, and that's to Deer Hunter.
Oh, is that right?
It has an opening. It has a 3, 2, 1. It has a scene in the beginning where Christian Bale's character is going out to hunt a deer, and it could be, as far as I remember, a replica of Deer Hunter, and it's even set in Pennsylvania with the dark, gloomy mill towns and all that stuff. So movies are referring to other movies, and I guess we can't take them too much to task for doing that.
No. Well, I love that. 3, 2. It's the language of the art.